So what we're going to do this morning, I want to say, first of all, Merry Christmas. Everybody just say Merry Christmas to your neighbor this morning. Wow, that sounded fantastic. Can we do that again? Everybody, one, two, three. Merry Christmas on this Sunday morning before Christmas. As I said earlier, ready or not, here we come. Let me ask you this question. How many people are disappointed that it's not going to be the white Christmas that you may have wanted? Anybody disappointed in that? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. How many people are thrilled that it's not going to be that way? All the people traveling, right? They're like, yay, dry roads, it's going to be awesome. Well, anyway, we as a church are in this series right now. It's called Four Names, One Child. And what we're doing in this series is we're looking at the four names that were given to Jesus nearly 700 to 800 years before he was even born. These names came through the prophet Isaiah. So, the names are found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And what I would like for us to do is I'd like for us just to read just one verse together this morning, and then your participation will be done, except for listening, okay? So can we read this one verse together, nice and loud, just like you said Merry Christmas just a few seconds ago. Everybody together. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Okay, shame on me, okay? I'm the guy that made the PowerPoint, so everybody read the signs across the sanctuary. It's Everlasting Father. Everybody together, those four names. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. By the way, if you got an information sheet on the back side of that this morning, there are notes that you can fill in the blanks, okay? So here we go. Today's focus is we're going to focus here on week three. We're going to focus on the name, we got it right this time, Everlasting Father. By the way, on Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock when we have our Christmas Eve service, we'll be focusing on this name to your right. The final banner will focus on the Prince of Peace. And I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be just a great, great time. So let's look at today. Let's look at Everlasting Father, okay? So let's take the next few minutes just to unpack this name. And we're going to not only unpack it, we're going to see what does it mean to us today where we live, okay? So first, let's begin with the word everlasting, okay? Everlasting. If you were to look in the dictionary, everlasting is really pretty self-explanatory. It simply means lasting forever. It means eternity. But I do want to let you know that this means so much more than the fact that Jesus will live forever, that Jesus will live for eternity along with us. But basically, this name in the context of this verse means that Jesus will care for his children. I don't know about you, but that brings me great comfort. Jesus will care for his children. I love that. That means today he'll care for me. This week, next week, in the year 2019, for all eternity, just think of this, children of God. The fact is that Jesus will care for his children forever. We're in his hands. He'll take care, good care of us. Then we look at the name Father, okay? And this name Father is a little more difficult, and there's a couple reasons why it's more difficult. And the first reason is because when we think of Jesus from the viewpoint of the Trinity. Think of the Trinity. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when we envision Jesus, what do we see? We see God the what? We usually think of God the Son, okay? So the thought here was when you read this verse, and people through the centuries have read this verse, the thought is, how can the Son be referred to as the Father? Come on, is there an issue here? But there's no issue. Let me explain what that means. Simply that means, and we're going to keep this really simple this morning, and that means that Jesus is called Everlasting Father based on the fact of how he relates to each and every one of us as a father. How many people know you don't have to be a father to somebody to relate to them like a father? And that's what we're seeing in this verse, is that Jesus is not God the Father. Yes, the Trinity, we could look at that in more detail. But the thought in this verse, in the context of this verse, and the writer wants us to understand, this is how Jesus relates to you and I as his children. He relates to us as a father, okay? But this can cause another issue of difficulty, and that's this issue, and that is when you and I think of father, let's just think of father for a minute. How many people often, the first thing that comes into your mind, our minds are so complex and so detailed, how many people right away have a picture in your mind of your earthly father? Anyone? Isn't it amazing that you don't have to have a photograph in front of you? But when you think of father, our minds are so incredible that our minds can actually, I actually see, without even shutting my eyes, I see my dad's face. I see my father's face. That's how incredible this is. And I want to let you know, and I want to make this very clear, and that is that we need to understand that there are no perfect fathers. And I heard somebody just say, what? A dad just said, what? Are you kidding me? Well, I'm here today to tell you that there's no perfect fathers, right? And I want to let you know that some fathers are better than others. Some fathers are growing. But I want to let you know there's also times when we as fathers, we get it right in one area, or we get it right in several areas, but there's one area where we lack. I know I'm a father. I have two sons. They're both here today. It's great to have them. But I want to let you know there's areas where I have it good. I'm a good father in some areas. Right, guys? Yeah. I was hoping they would say that. But there's other areas that I'm not the best father. Right, guys? You want to share with the congregation those areas of weakness? Expose me this morning. But that's where the challenge is, because the challenge for us is we need to be careful that we don't allow how we view our earthly fathers to impact how we view Jesus, how we view our heavenly Father. Yes, we have good earthly fathers. Yes, we have some that aren't so good. But the danger is we take that into our image of Jesus, who says, yes, I am your everlasting Father. So what I want to do this morning is I just want you to take your notes. And I want to share three ways that we should view Jesus, okay? These are basically three qualities that will help us view Jesus more accurately, okay? So take your notes and let's begin this journey together. He is our everlasting Father, but the fatherhood is all about that's how he relates to you. That's how he relates to me. That's kind of his qualities that he has for each and every one of us as his children. So let's begin the journey. Three qualities that we see in Jesus is this. He, Jesus, is always present. I love that. He's always present. Think about that. Jesus is always present. You know, I've been thinking about this all week in preparation. Unfortunately, there are some in this room this morning, and I would bear to say all of us in some degree or another, who have experienced great pain. We've experienced suffering. We've experienced some kind of challenge, some kind of setback in life. And so as a result, there's times that when we're going through these times of what I call desert experiences, there's times where we feel like, Jesus, are you really even with me? Are you really even with me? And then there's times we think, Jesus, have you just kind of left my life? Where are you in the midst of all my challenges, my pains, my disappointments? And there's some people that even find themselves asking this question, Jesus, where are you? I don't want anybody to raise their hand this morning. That would be very awkward this morning. But have you ever been in a position in your life where you've gone through a desert experience, a painful experience, a time of disappointment? Maybe you lost a loved one. I know when I think back to my mother this is now the second Christmas that she's been gone. There's times I look back and I say, God, it just seemed like it was so premature. It seemed like it happened much earlier than I would have thought. She was only 73 years old. She looked so young. She actually looked like one of my sisters. I mean, she kept herself in good shape. And I look back and I say, Lord, where were you? But my question is, have you ever been there? Situation in your life didn't work out the way you thought it would work out. I know I look out and I think, this is ridiculous. Over this last Thanksgiving season, that's when my parents used to come and spend the whole week with us. And now there's no more of that. And now to a degree, I've even lost contact with my father in one way that I had this relationship with him. It's not what it used to be. And it's when you go through those things that you think, Jesus, why? Where are you in all this? But here's what I want you to hear today, and please just kind of lean in just for the next second. That is, I want to make something super duper crystal clear. And that is, I want you to know this, that feelings are certainly real. Does everybody understand that feelings are real? Feelings are real. Believe me. How many are like me this morning? You're a very emotional person. Are there emotional people in the room today? That's okay. I know I've been known to cry watching a Hallmark Christmas movie. Heather will look over, like, look at me, and she'll know that it's a sad moment, and she'll look, I'll be crying, and she'll say, you got to be kidding me. And I'll say, no, I'm not kidding. This is touching my heart. She'll be over there straight face. I'm like, how are you not crying? But I'm a very, very emotional person, so emotions are very real. I was thinking of a situation in my life this week when I physically and emotionally got involved with two guys that were bigger than me. And I was just ready to throw down, and my emotions were so out of control that I was stepping into territory that was really dangerous and stupid. I was so emotionally wound up that I was willing to get into a dangerous situation over something so silly. So I just want to say this today, that yes, feelings are real. We deal with them all the time. But here's what I want you to know also, is that feelings and emotions don't always tell us the truth. Are you hearing me this morning? They can be real, but they may not be the truth. I may feel like somebody's feeling something about me that may be way off, so far from the truth. So they're real. Feelings are real, but they're not always the truth. So here's the truth I want you to hear this morning. And that is, even when we experience, when we're going through these seasons of great pain and suffering and challenge, I want to let you know that even in those moments, Jesus, who is your everlasting Father, is always present. Amen? He's always there. When you're on the mountaintop, he's with us. When we're in the valley of despair and disappointment and hurt and pain, I want to let you know Jesus is with you. See, other people may desert you. There's other people that don't want to deal with your pain, with your suffering. They don't want to be a part of that. But I'm here today to tell you that Jesus is always present. You're never, ever alone. Amen? That's why I love this verse. This is a great verse. It's a great promise. And we quote this quite frequently. Hebrews 13:5 says this, I will never, everybody say those two words together, leave you. I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Why? Because he is everlasting Father. He is always present. He's always there with us. And here's the icing on the cake. Here's the cherry on top. And that is, not only is he always present, here's the beauty. He's taking all of our pain. He's taking all of our suffering. He's taking all those disappointments, and he has this way, he has the power to work all those things together for good. I love that. So our pain, our disappointment, our season of hurt is never wasted. Not only is he with us, but he can take all those negatives, as we may see negative, and he can turn them into positive. We know that he's taking good care of us. He's always present. And if you're going through a season right now that I just described, where it's just hurtful pain and suffering, I want to let you know, lean into Christ, lean into the beauty of Jesus this Christmas season, and hold on, just wait and see. I want to let you know that everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. He's in control. He'll take care of what's going on in your life. So the first thing we see that Jesus is everlasting Father is he's always present. He's always present. Some of you had fathers that kind of maybe left, deserted the family. But I want to let you know, Jesus is a good father, and he's always present. Number two, let's go on this journey, continue. Number two is that he, Jesus, cares for us. So let me ask you a quick question. What is one of the ways in which our earthly fathers show that they care for us? What is one of the ways? Well, of course, there's several ways fathers express that they care. There's several ways. But one of the ways in which parents, fathers, express their care for their children is through a word that's not very popular today, but it's a word that's necessary. It's the word discipline. Discipline. That's one of the ways that we see that Jesus cares for us, that he disciplines us. And you say this, you say, well, why is discipline important? Because how many people know that discipline serves as, this is the way I see discipline, and by the way, you can put that in your notes, this is how I see discipline in my life. Discipline of Jesus is like guardrails. That's how I view the discipline of Jesus in my life, as guardrails on a road. And what's the job of these guardrails? What do they do is they keep us on the road where it's safe. Because if there's no guardrails, if there's no discipline, this is what can happen. You can end up in the ditch. And we all know stories of people that, hey, they're in the ditch. They never intended to be there, but they didn't stay on the road where it was safe. And now because there was no guardrails or they didn't obey the guardrails, they end up in the ditch. And see, that's why we as parents, as fathers, with our earthly children, we say we offer discipline. We say, hey, don't do this, do this. This is how you should act. This is how you should behave. Why? Because we want our kids to stay on the road that's safe because we love them so much and we care for them so much. We want them to stay on the road. We don't want our kids' lives to look like that. And there's people all throughout our city today, that's what their lives look like. They're in a ditch. And I want to let you know that one's going to be hard to get out of. And there's a lot of people today, their life's in a ditch, and they're in ditches where it's going to be very difficult to get out of. It's going to take a lot of help. And I think the same is true of our everlasting Father, Jesus. And that is that one of the ways that Jesus cares for his children is he disciplines us. He disciplines us. He offers guidance and directions. And actually, the Bible reminds us that who the Lord loves, he does what? He disciplines. That's what Hebrews 12, 5 through 11 is all about, is God loves us so much that he puts discipline in our lives. He puts guardrails in our lives because he wants us to be on the road to safety. But here's the problem with our culture today. The problem with our culture today is we often see discipline. We see discipline one way. We see it as punishment. We say, well, God just doesn't want me to have fun. God doesn't want me to enjoy life. God doesn't want me to do it my way. And we see discipline as a negative, negative, negative. We see it as punishment. But I'm here today to tell you on Christmas Eve, I want to let you know that God loves you so much. He cares for you. He provides discipline. And we need to see it as his involvement in our life. We need to see it as his love in our life, that he's so involved and he wants to offer discipline because he wants to say, I'm involved, I'm here because I love you. And I want to let you know that our everlasting Father cares enough about his children to say, hey, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to direct your step. I'm going to direct your life. I've given you my word, and my word is full of commands and precepts that show you the way that you can do this, stay on the road. But many people say, God, I don't want you in my life, and this is what happens. We end up in a ditch. And I want to let you know you have a good, good Father. Jesus is this everlasting Father that he wants you to stay right there. He wants you to stay on the road to safety. He wants to stay where you can continue to go on the road of life. But we have the choice, and he doesn't want us to end up here because there is where there's death and destruction. And I want to let you know we have a great earthly Father, and one of the ways he shows his greatness to us is saying, hey, I want to provide you with care. I want to provide you with discipline. And there's somebody in this room this morning that you need to hear this morning that, you know what, you're thinking that God doesn't want me to have fun. He doesn't want me to enjoy. He doesn't want this or that. No, I want to let you know you have a Father who is so loving, who is so involved in your life, who cares for you so much that he really wants you to stay on the road of life, and he doesn't want you to end up in the ditch. And really, that's a sign of his great love and his great care for each and every one of us. See, there's a way that there's a way that seems right unto men, it says in Proverbs, that in the end it leads to death, it leads to destruction. And we would be very wise people if we would say, Lord, I want to surrender myself to your will, to your ways, to your precepts, to your commands, to your discipline. Because when we stay on God's road, I tell you what, it leads to life. It leads to goodness. Is it always going to be easy? No, it's not always going to be easy. But I want to let you know it's always going to be good. You have a good, good Father that cares for you. Amen? And somebody needs to hear that today. I think there's several people that need to hear that this morning. Jesus cares for you. He really does have your best intentions in mind. He really does want the best for you because he loves you and you're his child. I don't know about you. I think all of us fathers are alike. All of us parents are alike. And I think there's one common denominator of all parents. And one of the common denominators of all parents is they want their best. They want the best for their children. And I tell you what, God supersedes that. He wants the best for you. And sometimes that means there needs to be some discipline and direction and guidelines so you can stay on the road. Let's go. I just have such a passion for that this morning. Third quality is this. He, Jesus, shows his great fatherness by forgiving us of our sins. How many people would agree that forgiveness is such a beautiful thing? Amen? I think of forgiveness, it turns a negative into a positive. It turns destruction into life. It turns something beauty or ugly into beauty. And actually, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible that talks about the fatherhood of Jesus, if you want to read in more detail, there's one chapter in the Bible that talks about the fatherhood of Jesus like none other, and that is, you'll be surprised, it's found in Psalms 103. It talks about how great of a father he is. And it all deals around this thought that he forgives us of our sins. Let's look at a few verses together. Verses 3 and 4, Psalms 103 says, he forgives all my sins. Can we say that bold part together today? He forgives all my sins, and he heals all my disease. He redeems me from death, and he crowns me with love and tender mercies. Verse 10, it says, he does not punish us for all of our sins, and he does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. That's a powerful verse. One more verse in that chapter, verse 12, it says, he has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. You're talking about an amazing, good, good Father, Jesus. He forgives us, I love that, of all my sins. He does not punish me for my sins. He has removed my sins as far as the east is from the west. You know, all the time people come and they say, hey, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? I tell you what, those are great questions, and it's fun to respond with something that we want, maybe even greater, something that we need. But I tell you what, the greatest Christmas gift that we all have this morning is that we have this ability to be forgiven of our sins. Amen? I mean, think about that gift, the indescribable gift. And I do want to make it clear that God, this doesn't mean that God is some benevolent Santa Claus. It doesn't mean that when we sin, he turns his back on our sins and acts like it never happens. No, what we need to understand is forgiveness of sin is only available through his son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world for one reason, and that is that he can forgive us of our sins. Forgiveness of sins is available through Jesus. Amen? He is a good, good Father. So what I want to do right now, we're going to do something a little different. I want the praise team to come forward at this time. I want us just to remain seated. If we can turn down the house lights, that would be great. I want us to sing a song that we've been singing for a long time around here. It's called He's a Good, Good Father. So I want to review how good of a father he is. First of all, he's a father who's always present. So maybe you're here today and you feel like, wow, it doesn't feel like he's present. I want to let you know he's present. Or you may need to hear today that he cares for you. He's a good father that cares for you. Or you may need to hear today that he's a God who forgives you of your sins. I want to let you know he is a good, good father. And I want us to sing this song together this morning. So if you would just stay right where you're at, I want to encourage you just to reflect on the goodness of Jesus, who is called the Everlasting Father. Let's sing together. Jesus is the Everlasting Father. He has all those qualities of a great Father. That's how He relates to us today, right where we live. He relates to us as a Father who is so good. And that's who He is. And we're His children. That's who we are. I just think we need to wait in His presence today and just... maybe today you need to know that He's present. Maybe today you need to know that He cares for you. Maybe you need to know today that your sins are forgiven, no matter what you've done. There's no sin that's so big or so small we like to label sins, but it's all covered through Jesus. Amen. So, Lord, we just want to pause in the midst of this Christmas season. And we just want to thank you for your goodness as a Father. That's how you relate to us today where we live in 2018. And Lord, I just pray that we would all just accept that in our hearts, that you are a good Father. You are a good Father. You are present. You do care. And you do forgive us when we sin. And we just thank you for that today. So just ask that you'd speak to people's hearts in this room today. Let's just close today by singing that chorus one more time real lightly. Let's just sing that one more time. Make it our prayer, our time of reflection. Let's sing the chorus one more time.
You're a good, good Father. To you are. To you are. To you are. And I'm loved by you. To I am. To I am. Who I am.
Amen. And everyone together said, Amen. So my whole objective today is that you would leave here just seeing Jesus and how he relates to you as your Father. He takes care of all the things that we need to be taken care of. Cares for you today, tomorrow, for all eternity. He takes care of his children. And how many people know in order to be his child, you need to take care of this issue, and you need to come and ask for forgiveness of sin, and you need to come and place your faith in him, Jesus, as the Savior. And our only hope is in Christ. So if you've never taken that step, I want to encourage you. What a great time of the year to do it. Take that step and say, Lord, I turn from my sins. I repent. And I turn from that sin and I turn to you, Jesus, as my Savior. And simply by doing that, we become a child of God. And we're just so thankful for that today. So if you've never done that, I want to encourage you after the service today, please come and approach me. I'd love to pray for you. That would be wonderful. I'd love to just be able to just listen to your heart, pray for you, and we can just pray for that, just pray a prayer together. That would be very, very rewarding. So when we all stand to our feet this morning, thank you for being here. Thank you for being here this morning. Yeah.